Blog Talk Radio.
Talk show with your host, Wayne Cooper, 7 p.m. on the East Coast, 4 p.m. here on the West Coast. So glad that you could join us on this Wednesday, March the 24th, 2021. So glad you could be here. Listen, if you want to call in, if you have any questions of anything I want to say today, you could call in at 914-205-5527. That's 914-205-5527. Today we're talking about why do our government seek to divide the American people? That's a good question, isn't it? Why do our government seek to divide the American people? Any careful observer can see that members of our government make it a point to divide our country across racial and ethnic lines, no doubt about it. And I think, especially from my point of view, it is clear that the left is primarily responsible for dividing the country, as that is part of their agenda. It's a part of their belief system. And they've been doing that, and pretty effectively, I might add, for quite some time. And so as a people, we need to ask, what do the politicians get out of our being divided? Have you ever asked that? Like, why is it that they want to divide our country? So what do they get out of it? You know, how do they benefit when we are hating each other? And I've often said that politicians always want an issue and not a solution while running for elected office. And so we want to examine those things today as we talk about it. Now, let's just get right to it, because it goes without saying that no matter where you stand on these issues, we have made lots of progress in America as it relates to racial relationships and reconciliation. I mean, that is irrefutable. We made lots of progress. I'm proud of the progress that we made here in America, and no truly informed person would deny those facts, okay? Only uninformed people who would deny it or would say that we've not come very far. But we've come very far, particularly when we're talking about since the civil rights movement. We're talking about approximately 60 years. We have made a lot of progress. And so I'll just say it again, that no truly informed person would deny those facts. But we've come to a place where our politicians, and again, particularly those on the left, okay, because I always try to be honest and fair. And just in my observation, now I'm not suggesting that those on the right are completely innocent, but I'm saying that in my observation, that those on the left seems to have made it a point to continue to divide us across racial and ethnic lines. I mean, because there was a time when this was done in a subtle way. I mean, it was done in a subtle way. Sometimes it was done in a way that was not obvious, but now it is in our faces in the 21st century. So people are not trying to hide it any longer. I guess they figure that, you know what, we're at a place, we're in a position where we have enough support where people now can buy into what we're up to, you know, what we're trying to do, what we're trying to accomplish. And so the politicians, you know, the truth is, and what it appears, that they don't like it when the American people are getting along. And so when we're getting along, that makes them very uneasy. And so if we're getting along, if there is a show of unity within the country, that makes the politicians very uneasy. And so let me just say it again. I've said this on many occasions, that politicians spur an issue rather than a solution as they prepare to run for elected office. And I'll go into why that is. And there could be no greater issue than the issue of race, because there are what we call race hustlers. And race hustlers literally become rich by instigating animosity between people of different ethnic groups. And the mainstream media, which is an arm and partner of the Democratic Party, will then give national exposure to incite crowds in order to bring them into a frenzy and cause them to have deep feelings of hate between various racial groups. All you got to do is look. You'll see it. And this very picture was seen in the last two tragic shootings in Atlanta, Georgia, and more recently in Boulder, Colorado. Now, take a look real quickly with me at the Atlanta killings. A couple of weeks ago now? And let's just look at the response at both, actually, the Atlanta killings and the Boulder, Colorado killings. Well, let's look at President Joe Biden. So when he gave remarks, and of course, let me just say that whenever there's a tragic situation in the country, we expect our government leaders to say something, particularly, you know, our commander-in-chief, the president, Joe Biden. And here's what he said. You know, he said a lot of things, but I want to just say a couple of things that I think is relevant to what I'm trying to communicate here today. And so Joe Biden says, and I quote, "There are simply some core values and beliefs that should bring us together as Americans." And actually, I agree with that. And then he goes on to say, "One of them is standing together as Americans." I agree with that. He says, "One of them is standing together against hate, against racism." I have no argument with that. But then he goes on to say, "Statements by former President Donald Trump calling the coronavirus the China virus or the Kung flu or perpetuate stigmas about Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders and contributed to bullying and harassment and hate crime." Now, I disagree with that, okay, because calling a virus by the name or where it came from is not the reason why Asians are being attacked, okay? And I'm going to get into that, because we know that Asians have been attacked for a number of years now, okay? It has nothing to do with the coronavirus, all right? Asians have been being attacked for a number of years, okay? So I don't buy into that at one moment. Now, that is a statement. It is a deliberate statement to, as I said earlier, to incite people to become angry at a group of people in America. And in particular, the former president's supporter, the Trump supporters. That's what President Joe Biden is in. That's what he did deliberately, right? Those statements, because we've had other types of flus and diseases. We've had the Spanish flu. We've had the Hong Kong flu. We've had other things, okay, that have come from other countries, and people were not attacked, all right? So I can assure you that calling the coronavirus the China virus or the Kung flu did not perpetuate stigmas about Asian Americans, all right? So I'm not buying that, okay? So that's what he said. Then the vice president, Kamala Harris, she says, and I quote, "Whatever the killer's motive, these facts are clear. 6 out of the 8 people killed on Tuesday night were of Asian descent. 7 were women. The shootings took place in business owned by Asian Americans. The shootings took place as violent hate crimes and discrimination against Asian Americans has risen dramatically over the last year or more. Then she goes on to say, racism is real in America, and it has always been, she continued. Xenophobia is real in America and always has been. Sexism, too, she added before describing the long history of systematic and individual acts of racism against Asian Americans. And then she said this, for the last year, we've had people in positions of incredible power scapegoating Asian Americans, people with the biggest pulpits spreading this kind of hate. And of course, we know who she's alluding to. She's alluding to former President Donald Trump. And so there again, we see both the president and the vice president are doing what they are accusing President Trump of having done. And that is, they are trying to incite a crowd against the former president and against his supporters, because there is an assumption, first of all, that in this Atlanta crime, there is a belief that white supremacists, because in other words, we've been told and we've heard that, quote, white supremacists are the ones who supported President Donald Trump. And so anybody who's white and who commits a crime against a person of color, whether they be black, whether they be Asian, whether they be Middle Eastern, or whomever they may be, then that person has to be classified as a white supremacist, and they must be a supporter of President Trump. Now, I'm going to push hard against that, because first of all, what both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris said is absolutely false. Okay? Again, I come back to something. If we were to look in the record books, okay, ladies and gentlemen, we will see that Asian Americans have been attacked for decades. Let's go all the way back to the Rodney King saga, when Rodney King was beaten. You may remember that even in South Central Los Angeles at the time, when all of that took place, Koreatown and other Asian communities were attacked, and they were attacked primarily by members of the black community. And so that happened back in 91 and 92. So you're talking about nearly 30 years ago, all right? And so that had nothing to do with the flu, that had nothing to do with the virus, that had nothing to do with anything else other than the fact that the members of the, and listen, let's be clear here. That had nothing to do with Asians having done anything wrong to the black community. That was simply some angry black folks who were angry because the police officers in that situation were found not guilty at least in the state trial. They were found not guilty, and the people in the black community there in South Central Los Angeles and other parts of the black community, they were angry and they lashed out. And what did they do? Well, they did what they mostly do always, and that is to lash out and to destroy their own communities and then the surrounding communities, which happens to be Koreatown. And so they began to beat up the Korean people. They even killed a few. And then you may recall, if you watch TV, that many of the Korean citizens had their guns. They were on top of their businesses with their rifles ready to defend both themselves and their businesses. And so I'm talking about going back nearly 30 years. So I'm not buying into this, that this is a new phenomena now, that because the coronavirus came and because President Trump said that it came from China, or he said a couple of times that it came from the Wuhan laboratory, wherever it came from. There, we know it came from China, so there's no denying that. So I don't think it was anything wrong with saying where it came from. I don't think that made American people angry with Asian Americans. They had nothing to do with it. They did not live in China. They lived in America, okay? So it's so easy to want to blame people. But that's why I said that what we see in our country is that people want an issue rather than a solution. They want an issue rather than a solution, okay? And so let's look at this killing, by the way. And even former President Obama had something to say, and as you would know, it had to do with race as well. But let me just quickly say that this had nothing to do with race, according to what we've seen thus far. At the Atlanta police, they're still investigating, but so far what they've investigated, the young man who happened to be Caucasian said he acknowledged some things. In fact, he acknowledged some things that very rarely do you hear a perpetrator of a crime acknowledge. So in this case, what did he do? He acknowledged that he had a sexual addiction. He acknowledged that he used to frequent the massage parlors, and in particular, the one that he shot up and killed innocent people. And he said something that, while it is inexcusable and all of that, he said that he saw it as a source of temptation for him. So in other words, in his sick mind, that he thought that by eliminating people who work there, he thought that somehow that would eliminate the source of the temptation that he had concerning his sexual addiction. Now, we all have to say that is the most ridiculous excuse anybody could give to kill 10 or 8, I think it was 8 total, 8 innocent people. That's inexcusable. It should be rejected by all, and I trust that it will be. And so, but there is no indication that he went there just because it was Asian or because that there were females there and that the females happened to be Asians. No, there's no clear evidence that that is the reason that he went there to kill those people. So I think it is premature, and I think it is reckless and irresponsible for the President of the United States and the Vice President to try to incite more violence by pointing to this situation and stating that it was motivated and predicated by racism. Okay, I think we have to be careful about what we are saying, simply because we would rather have an issue rather than a solution, okay? So y'all with me, right? So again, let me just say to you that we got to be careful. Now, again, you know, racism does exist in America, okay? So anybody who's alive and who is alert and who is informed with these things, then we have no problem with acknowledging. But in this case, there has been no rendering of any kind of racial bigotry as the reason or the motivation behind the shooting, behind the killing here. Like I said, the young man has stated why he did what he did. And in my mind, those reasons are unacceptable. They are to be rejected. And quite frankly, I think his reasoning is insane and should never be considered. I think that he should be held totally responsible for the killings of these people, okay? So that's what we have there. Now, what I find interesting is this. So we're going to see something different here, all right? And so let's go now to Boulder, Colorado. I think this is interesting. So we had another killing. Now, you know, anytime there is a killing in our country, you know, when it comes to gun violence, it is a sad day in America. No one deserves to be shot and to be gunned down. You know what I'm saying? No one deserves that. And so since no one deserves that, we need to be careful, and we need to do all we can to make sure that we are doing our best to pay attention to our surroundings. If we happen to know of anyone who who has problems, who have anger issues, who own guns and they're talking crazy, we should do our best to make sure that we notify the authorities, because people are not well, and as we've seen, people can and they will hurt innocent people. Now, in the Boulder, Colorado killings, again, we see where people have come forth and they have made their declaration about what they think happened. But what I find interesting is that there is a contrast with both our president and our vice president as it relates to these two different shootings and killings. Because in Atlanta, we see a whole different attitude towards the shooter than we do in Colorado. So in Atlanta, both the president and vice president declared that the shooter, the perpetrator of the crime, did it because he was motivated by xenophobia, because he was racist, because he was a bigot, and because he hated Asians, right? Now, listen to this. Under the Boulder, Colorado killings, President Biden came out, and I want to quote what he said. He said a lot, but I'm just going to read a paragraph of what he says. And I quote, "There's still a great deal we don't know about the killer and the motivation of the killer in Boulder, Colorado, and other critical aspects of this mass shooting. I've been briefed this morning by the Attorney General of the United States, the Director of the FBI. I've spoken with the governor, and I'll be speaking with the mayor of the aircraft." Then he goes on to say, "We are working very closely with the state and local law enforcement officials, and they're going to keep me updated as they learn more. You're going to ask me to speculate, understandably. You're going to ask me to speculate on what happened, why it happened, and I'm not going to do that now," all right, end quote. Now, pay attention to that. Now, Kamala Harris had this to say, and I quote, "It's absolutely tragic. It's tragic. 10 people were going about their day, living their lives, not bothering anybody," okay? And then she goes on to say, "A police officer who was performing his duties and with great courage and heroism," end quote. Now, don't you find it interesting that in the Atlanta killings, they were clear about what the motivation was when it came to this young man and this 21-year-old Caucasian man when he shot up this Asian massage parlor, but all of a sudden now they are a little hesitant to say anything in reference to this killer in Boulder, Colorado? Why do you think that is? Let me tell you exactly why it is. Because they learned that this other man had a different name. See, his name wasn't the usual Caucasian name, right? His name was Anmak Al-Aliwi Alissa. So his name was a Muslim name, and he migrated to this country when he was a boy from Syria. So he is a Muslim, and it turns out not only is he a Muslim, but he actually, from what we are learning now, he is a Muslim that leans more to the left, and he shot up this grocery store and killed 10 innocent people, including a police officer. But I find it interesting that President Biden was hesitant He did not call it a racial type killing. No, that it was based on race or motivated by race. Kamala Harris refused to say that it was motivated by race. So what's the difference in both of these different cities? In Atlanta, all of a sudden it's motivated by race against Asians, but now you have a Middle Eastern young man, right? He was also 21 years of age, young guy, right? Two young men, same age, 21 years of age, one in Atlanta, one in Boulder, Colorado, but all of a sudden they refused to label this man. Let me tell you, y'all, on the left, they love to play this game, okay? And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris is playing this game. They didn't want to say anything. They didn't want to even call his name because there was no doubt they learned what his name was, and they refused to say what the motivation is because he was Muslim. Now, if you go back, remember during the Obama administration, we had a few attacks where Muslims attack American citizens, okay? And so Obama was very sympathetic towards the Muslim community, right? And so that's why people got angry with President Trump and said he was against Islam and he didn't like Muslims and he didn't want Muslims to come into the country. And so there is no doubt there's a lot of sympathy towards the Muslim community by even Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And that is why they refuse to mention this young man's name, and that is why they refuse to call this an act of racism. You see the double standard here? You see what I'm talking about, dividing our nation? It is a deliberate, calculated, willful act on their part. Now, CNN, however, because of their ignorance, this is what they did. So I was listening to them, and check this out. So I was listening to them, and when they first saw the young man being arrested, because they didn't know his name, they didn't know his ethnicity, all they saw was a light-skinned, pale-looking man. And one reporter says, "We see that it is a white man." Now, notice this. That was their first observation, not the 10 victims, not that 10 people, innocent people had lost their lives, had been gunned down like a wild animal, right, in the broad daylight, right, minding their own business, working, right? That wasn't their concern. Their first concern was, we see that it is a white man. And then later they learned what the man's name was. And that began to change. And so all of a sudden, they began to change their tune. And all of a sudden, they didn't want to talk about race and where he was from and all of that. And then even Twitter got busy. And so people started writing because they had heard that it was a white man and they were ready to pounce on this and make this a thing. Right? And so several people had to change their initial tweets because they saw that the perpetrator's name wasn't traditionally a white American. And guess who was part of that? Mina Harris, the vice president's niece. And listen to what she wrote, and I quote, "The Atlanta shooting was not even a week ago. Violent white men are the greatest terrorist threat to our country." Then she had to correct herself. And then she wrote another tweet to explain herself. And here's what she said. "I deleted a previous tweet about the suspect in the Boulder shooting. I made an assumption based on his being taken into a custody alive and the fact that the majority of mass shootings in the U.S. are carried out by white men," end quote. Well, I have to get ready to close this. My time is almost up. But do you know why politicians and government officials seek to divide us and keep us divided? Real quickly, there is a deep hatred between themselves. They want an issue rather than a solution. That is when they can bring people to their sides. You see, a divided country is a vulnerable country. And you have to understand that many of our politicians hate our country and they want to see it destroyed. And then this is where the race hustlers become wealthy. So That's what I want to share with you today. So until the next time, this is the Voice of Reason Talk Show with your host, Wayne Cooper. Take care.